If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
God speaks to me through the most ridiculous ways. Sometimes God will speak to me through movies. He'll say, turn so and so on. And I turn it on and I begin to cry incessantly as the Spirit of God gives me direction, comfort. God says, turn the television on. I said, turn television on. I always tell him no. But I always do it. He never repeats himself to me. I said, no, I ain't turning the television on as I turned it on. And when I turned it on, it came to this movie called The Natural. Some of you may be aware. It's a Robert Redford film where at an older age, he becomes a rookie on a baseball team. The owner of the team sends him to the team because he's too old to compete, and he wants the team to lose. So he sends Redford down there. Now, no one knows where Redford comes from. He's like Melchizedek. No one knows his genealogy. No one knows anything about his past. But he comes to the team, and the owner of the team has decided to sabotage this team because he will, if the team loses, he will have complete ownership of the team as opposed to being a partial owner. And the manager is infuriated by the fact that the owner would send him such an old man. He calls him an old rookie. He has no baseball history. He has no record of achievement. And he wonders how this man makes his team. So he decides, I'm not going to play him. He sits him on the bench. Now, I never saw this movie before. And I don't want to look at it now. I want to make a phone call. God knows me. The curiosity gets the better of me. Because I'm the kind of person, stuff has to make sense. And so the Columbo part of me says, what's going to happen? The coach doesn't play him. He sits on the bench. He says nothing. He doesn't argue. He doesn't promote himself. He just takes what the coach does. One day, because they're such a losing team, they call in a phony psychologist who wants to speak to them about the phenomenon of losing. He says losing is a disease, and he begins to list other diseases. And by the third installment, Redford gets up and walks out, and the manager screams at him, Hobbs, get back here. He says, I'm not going to listen to this. Whoa, what do you mean? The rest of the team is listening to the negative statement about losing, but this older man who has not yet played decides he's not going to listen to defeated talk. He says, I came to play baseball, not to listen to somebody tell me why we're losing. And he sits back down on the bench, and the manager looks over and says, tomorrow I want you to go to batting practice. He says, I've always been to batting practice. You just never noticed. First time he steps into the batter's box, they throw a pitch, and he drives it up into the third level. And he does so with every pitch that they throw to him. They couldn't believe the power of this man. The manager is still a little Pentecostal. He says, oh, that's just batting practice. He said, let's see what he can do in a game. So he starts, when he goes out to hit in the game, as he leaves the bench, the manager says, get a hold of it, Roy. Knock the cover off of it. And the pitcher throws him a pitch, and he knocks the cover off the ball. He gets a triple his first time up, drives in two runs, and after that, he plays proficiently. Now, The owner doesn't want him to be successful. He wants the team to lose, so he has a friend. And they look for a way to sabotage him. They offer him money. He rejects it. He says, no, I'm comfortable with what I am. They offer him a new contract and a prestigious raise. He says, no, that's not what I want. And so the bad guy says to the judge, he says, he'll come around. He says, how? He said, don't worry about it. He hooks him up with a woman, old Adam. And the woman does her thing. She does her Delilah stuff. And he starts striking out. He gets up to bat and he strikes out. The team starts losing and it's just horrible. Until a friend of his from his past shows up. He swings twice and doesn't make contact, and she just stands up in the stance. She doesn't say a word. She's got on a white dress, and she just stands up, and he looks around, and he sees her, and the next pitch. I said, okay, God, that's enough. What's your message? He begins to talk to me about the times when you feel that you're out and you want to give up. And the enemy has so skillfully weaved a trap for you. And you don't even know it. It could be things you're experiencing, things that you're going through, situations designed to knock you off course. I said, what does this have to do with the resurrection? He said, everything. God, in Exodus 19, 9 through 15, God tells Moses, I'm coming down. I got to talk to my children. Every parent at some point needs to talk to their children. It's just a normal evolution. But there's a handicap. God is so holy that he can't talk to his children because his holiness is so powerful that he'd kill his kids. And you wouldn't die because he's mean. You die because you can't handle the holiness. It's like looking at the sun. It messes with your eyes, so you got to put on some sunglasses. Not so that you can look directly into the sun, but so the glare won't harm you. And God said, Moses, I'm going to come down and talk to them, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to do some preparatory things. Number one, I need you to put a border around the mountain at the base, because I can't have everybody running up to this mountain. There are angelic beings designed to protect my holiness. And if you come bum rushing my mountain, you're going to die. So put a boundary at the border at the bottom of the mountain. Just set it up. The next thing I need you to do is tell everybody to take a bath. I can never understand that. Even in Hebrews, he says, let us draw near and have our bodies washed with pure water. I think it's just a purification ritual. He says, make everybody wash themselves. And then God says, tell the husbands not to come near their wives for 3 days. I don't even want you coming to my mountain feeling a bit spunky. So just take 3 days away from each other and prepare yourselves for my descent. And the Bible says when he did come down, the mountain went up in fire. Could never quite realize why God is always associated with fire outside of hell. Fire is purifying. It burns away the dross. It burns away all of those things that are injurious to your spiritual life. Our God is a consuming fire. I have never seen a parent desire the fellowship of their children as much as God, but yet find himself incapable of having it. Can you imagine how it felt to reach out to Adam and Adam was hiding? Can you imagine how it felt to come down and walk around and have fellowship with your creation, but on one particular day, he's not at the assigned place? We have been made to believe through theological assessment that God doesn't care. That his heart is so hard that he can just send people to hell without even feeling anything. We have been made to believe that God is standing over us with a club, and anytime we step out of the pathway of duty, he will slap you upside your head. Because that's what holiness is. And so our fathers in the gospel and our mothers in the gospel gave us the image of a God who had nothing better to do than to beat up on you every time you made a mistake. I did not understand the reasoning back then. I do now. You paint the image of God based on the image that you have of your own father. In the absence of a father, you have a difficult time connecting with God because you have no point of reference. If your father was abusive, your God is going to be abusive. If your father was loving, your God is going to be loving. But God could not continue to exist with every one of his creation having a determination about him based on their own personal assessments, because it ain't right. My view of God is different than your view of God, because my father was different than your father's. God said, I need a standard. I want everybody to come to me, but they can't, because all have sinned and come short. And even when I'm drawing them, they don't know the drawing. They think that the drawing is to personal greatness. They don't understand the trials and the tests, and the things that I'm sending are not to hurt them, but they're designed to bring them closer. They don't understand that even I tried to tell them in Jeremiah that you're going to go through some difficulties, but if you know me and if you know my plan, then what you should do while you're going through the difficulties is prepare for success after the trouble, because I'm not leaving you in the trouble. So don't lay there and cry about the trouble. Start preparing for success.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
4118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.